Our Man at Wembley by Bill Matthews. Episode 3. The year is 1947. Our hero, Eric Halliday, in spite of his working-class Lancashire background, has obtained a job as a sports commentator through his perfect imitation of a BBC accent. His sister Dora, seeing this as a betrayal of his roots, has thrown him out of her house. Meanwhile, his wish to win the hand of the beautiful French maiden Chantal appears thwarted by her romance with his deadly rival, Gordon MacKay.
Hello, Michael.
So where did you spend the night? Look at the state of you.
On a park bench in Kensington Gardens.
Why Kensington Gardens?
Richmond Park and St James's Park were fully booked. I walked for hours and that's where I ended up and where I realised I'd left all my money at home.
Well, I nearly joined you on the streets.
Has she calmed down?
If last night she was a raging inferno, this morning she was sort of smouldering with the occasional outburst every few minutes.
That bad? Oh, in that case, I better sneak back home to collect a few things. I've got to be at Wimbledon by two.
I'll try and listen. Where are you going to stay tonight?
I wish I knew.
But before you go, Eric...
What?
The bankers told me that someone anonymously paid last month's loan on the shop. It wasn't you, was it?
Well,
I thought it was. You shouldn't have. But thank you. It got us out of a pickle, for now.
I don't want to see this place go under. What could be more necessary in 1947 than a shop selling television?
Nick, I tell you what, Eric. If I tell Dora you paid the loan instalment...
She'd consider it bad money thrown after good. She'll refuse to accept it. The shop will go bankrupt and then you'll all be homeless rather than just me.
Of course. That's just what I was going to say. Mm.
So, with Kramer leading Brown by a set in 5-3 in the second, we go back to the studio for the 4 o'clock news bulletin, after which Eric Halliday will be your commentator.
It's touch and go whether Kramer will finish him off by the time our transmission ends.
What of it?
It is the final of the men's singles. Do you think they'll consider pushing children's hour back a bit?
Have you gone stark staring mad? Push back children's hour?
I only thought...
Isn't it enough for you that adults have to suffer your dreary little commentaries without the nation's children becoming victims too? Oh,
I didn't mean it like that.
You really have become infatuated with your own importance, haven't you, Halliday? In the scheme of things, you're nothing but a...
Nothing but a what?
Welcome back to Wimbledon, where Jack Kramer has just won the second set by 6-3. It's now the first game of the third set with Kramer serving.
Very good, Eric.
Second serve is good. Brown's return is easily put away by Kramer, though 50 in love.
Dora?
Yes, Michael?
I was just going to say, we sold a radiogram this morning.
Oh. How many sales does that make this week?
Let me see. 2. Oh.
Our sales doubled in one morning. Things are looking up. Perhaps we'll be able to pay the bank this month after all.
I've already paid it. We just had enough to cover it.
Oh, Michael, that's a relief. Any news of my brother?
He didn't pay it.
I never thought he did. Have you heard from him?
No, he's probably keeping out of your way.
He forced you to lie to me before, Michael. I don't want it ever happening again.
No, Dora. No.
And Kramer with a marvellous half volley completely foxes Brown. That's 30 love. And I'm being told there's 1 minute to go until the start of children's hour, so we may just get in the end of this match. Now, Kramer serves. It's in. Brown's return is high over the net, but Kramer simply crushes that. 40 love and 3 championship points now. Come on, Jack. What can he do here? Now, Kramer prepares the serve. His serve goes in. It's long. It's long. Come on, Jack. We can do this. The second serve is in the net. Oh, and that double fault makes it 40-15.
10 seconds.
Yes, yes. Kramer now serves again to Brown's forehand side, and the return is out. And Jack Kramer has won the Wimbledon title. And now straight over to children's hour.
There was a little man and he had a little gun.
What the blazes are you doing, Halliday? The match is still going on.
I didn't want to cheat the audience out of an exciting finish.
Oh, so you're playing God now, deciding when matches can and cannot finish.
Well, he's won now, you see? And everyone at home is happy, thinking that they heard the winning point.
Is this another part of your master plan, Halliday? I know you won't be happy until you've completely taken over my job.
What?
Not to mention my girlfriend.
Your girlfriend?
Oh, I've noticed the way you look at Chantal. I've seen you two creeping away for little private chats.
We've behaved perfectly properly.
Something isn't right about you, Halliday. I wish I knew what it was. I only know that I'm going to find out. And when I...
Hello, chaps.
I've just been talking to the major at BH and he's thrilled that we got to the finish just before children's hour.
Hmm.
He says to say well done. What is it? Have you two been arguing?
Don't be silly, Chantal.
It was nothing.
Oh. I was just wondering if you'd like to come for some strawberries and cream. I wanted to ask you something.
Oh, righty-ho.
Sorry, Gordon. I can see you any time. I'm in Derrick. So what was that all about? You and Gordon had been arguing, and you?
No, of course not. I get on splendidly with Gordon.
I know he can be a little abrasive, but it's all for show, you know? That's not what he's really like.
Isn't it?
What is wrong, Eric? You haven't been yourself at all today.
That's the problem. I never can be.
What problem is this?
It's something to do with home.
Oh?
I no longer have one.
But you live with your sister and brother-in-law, don't you?
I did. But I've upset my sister.
You? How?
Oh, Chantal, I'd like to tell you. I really would. But I can't. Anyway, she's turfed me out.
So where are you staying?
Well, last night I was at Jack Winstanley's.
You slept at his house?
No, I slept on his bench. It was terribly kind of him to donate it to Kensington Gardens.
I can't believe it.
Don't worry about me. I'll find a hotel for tonight.
I have an idea. We have a spare room at my parents' house. I'm sure they wouldn't mind if you stayed with us until you've sorted out your problem with your sister.
Chantal, it's very kind of you, but I couldn't, really.
Is there any reason you couldn't, apart from a fear of obligation and a stupid English pig-headedness?
Well, no, I don't suppose there is.
Come. Ah, Mackay. Sorry to have kept you waiting. Please come in.
Thank you, Major.
Ah, this is opportune, Mackay, as I was thinking it was time you and I had a little chinwag. Now, what did you want to say?
I'm sorry to have to report that a gross deception has been carried out on the British public by a member of this department.
Well, what crime has been committed?
Falsifying the ending of a tennis match. Eric Halliday's commentary on the final point of the men's final was a complete fiction.
Really?
Kramer actually won the match a point later, when we were off the air.
And did it make for good listening?
Well, that surely isn't the point.
Well, I thought it was the whole point.
Well, it is, yes, but...
Well, I admit that Halliday was taking a risk, and I can't condone what he did. But in the end, it worked out rather swimmingly. What?
But Major...
And saved us from looking like jackasses for leaving the final 1 point early. So, was that all?
Yes.
Good. Because I wanted a chance to thank you. The fruits of your labours have really come through at this Wimbledon.
Oh, why, thank you, Major. I do my best.
Since young Halliday has been in your charge, he's come on splendidly. And now he's discovered a fluent, fast-talking style of his own, which enables him to keep up with the play. As a result of your good work and his, I've decided to make him number one football commentator for the coming season.
You're giving him my job?
Well, it's never been, strictly speaking, your job. It's occurred to me lately that sports like tennis and football aren't entirely suited to your special talents. You might be more comfortable with slower-moving sports, like yachting.
Yachting? We've never covered yachting in the BBC's entire history.
Oh. Well, I'm sure we will one day.
You can't do this to me, Major. I'm the voice of Britain, the voice of the people.
Are you really? Well, I never knew that.
I like to think I represent the man on top of the Clapham omnibus.
Have you ever been on a bus, Mackay? No, face it, old man. It's a new age. And I believe that Halliday better typifies that age than a pair of pre-war old fogies like you and me. What?
Here you are.
Oh, this is grand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this room, it's grand. Thank you. Oh, thank you very much for all you've done, Chantal.
I've been happy to help.
And you're sure your parents don't mind?
I've told you.
Well, since, for the moment, this is my room, would you care to sit down?
Why, thank you, sir.
You've been so generous to me, Chantal. I think it's time for me to be completely honest with you about myself.
Oh, dear.
How can I put this? Chantal, do you ever forget you should be speaking English and speak French instead?
Yes, sometimes. Why?
When I'm at work, it's like that for me all the time.
You forget you should be speaking French?
No, English, of course, but...
Oh, perhaps you should say this in French, Eric. It might make more sense.
Right. Try again. When I'm at the BBC, I pretend that I talk like this, but the rest of the time I talk like this.
I'm sorry. Have I missed something?
Well, I'm trying to tell you that this is how I really talk.
I know. That is how you always talk.
Are you saying you can't tell the difference between me talking in this accent and me talking in this accent?
No, they are both the English accent.
But there are hundreds of regional accents.
I have heard this, but I have never been able to hear any.
That is astonishing.
Is it? How many different French accents can you recognise?
Well, one, I suppose.
You see? So... what is your regional accent?
Lancashire. I mean, Lancashire. In the northwest of England. I come from a traditional working-class background, but this way of talking isn't acceptable on the BBC.
So now you are speaking in a Lancashire accent?
Yes. The only way I could get a job on the BBC was to pretend to be an upper-middle-class southerner.
So how many people from the BBC know that you are not bourgeois?
Only you. And I was hoping it could stay that way.
I won't tell anyone.
Thank you. Do you think any the less of me now?
Because you didn't tell the whole truth?
And because I'm working class. Eh? I won't make a fuss if you chuck me out. I'm getting pretty used to it by now. It's only 7 o'clock. There may still be a space available at Jack Winstanley's.
I think it must have been much harder for you to realise your dream than it was for, say, Gordon or the Major.
So, can I stay?
Of course you can stay.
Oh, the silence is broken at last. How long has it been, Alf? How long?
7 weeks, 6 days, 2 hours, 10 minutes.
8 weeks without the sound of sport in the house.
Well, nearly.
I never want to go through this nightmare ever again. And I don't even want to know who's playing, as long as it's football. So who is playing?
Everton and Blackpool. That's Uncle Eric's team.
Oh, dear. There goes the BBC's obligation to be impartial.
Did you say there was an emergency meeting today? Because when I got to the WVS, there was no one there. Mortensen eats up chance like these for breakfast. 2-1 to Blackpool. Is that him?
Yeah. He's not bad, is he?
No. Apart from a slight overuse of metaphor. Oh, and talking like an namby-pamby southern pranny. So, when I say I don't want Eric in this house, that includes his voice.
Oh. Well, I think he's the best commentator in the whole world.
Luke, I don't mind you listening to sport as long as our Eric isn't on.
But, Mum, Uncle Eric covers all the good sports that there are. And anyway, I like having a famous uncle.
Yeah, that's because your note was a sudden softy yourself, Alf.
Admit it, though, Dora. Doesn't hearing Eric make you feel just a tiny little bit proud?
Admit it. Yes, I'll admit it. But that doesn't make what he did right, does it?
Catch a little fishy in a little dishy, catch a little fishy when the boat comes in. Catch a little fishy in a little dishy, catch a little fishy when the boat do come in. Arr.
No, no difference.
No difference?
No, except that the second time you said arr.
Oh, all right, try this. Chantal, you're a lovely lady, you. Day back, you are truly gorgeous. You're real fair dinkum. You've got to be the sweetest broad I ever met. I think you're really nice. And I like you very, very much.
What happened there?
Well, I used, well, let me say, 6 different accents.
Ooh, then why did they all sound exactly the same? You are so easy to tease.
So you could hear a difference then?
No. Perhaps it's you, perhaps you are just hopeless at putting on different voices.
Why, I got him.
That's probably Gordon.
Almost certainly, Gordon.
Chantal, enchanté!
Come
here. Halliday, haven't you found your own place yet?
Quite happy living here, thank you.
What did you say?
I'm quite happy living here, thank you.
Are you ready yet, Chantal?
Yes.
There's a first. A girl who's ready on time, eh? Am I the only one here with any sense of humour?
How's your salmon?
It's all right.
What's got into you tonight? You're acting as if you'd rather be anywhere else but here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Perhaps I'm just not in the right mood.
We'll find out about that later, eh?
Oh, for God's sake.
This is nothing to do with Halliday, is it?
Eric? Why? Why do you ask?
Everything else that's wrong in my life seems to come back to him. I'm telling you, Chantal, I don't like him living in the same house as you.
Well, thankfully, it has nothing to do with you.
Don't understand why he hasn't got a place of his own.
A lot of his salary goes towards helping his sister and brother-in-law.
He relies on his salary? What about his private income?
What kind of a world are you living in?
The amount the BBC pays is barely enough to keep one in spats. This is most interesting. What else do you know about Halliday's background?
Nothing that I'm prepared to tell you.
But Chantal, my darling, ma chérie, surely you and I shouldn't keep any secrets from each other.
Thank you very much, sir. Please call again.
Oh, I'm sure I will. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
So, satisfied customer. Was that an isolated incident, or could it be called part of a trend?
I'm hoping it's a trend. Oh. Since we started stocking more household appliances and so-called time-saving devices, sales have really picked up.
So, how is life with Deschamps?
Oh, it's a nightmare. I don't think I can take it much longer.
I thought you liked them.
The problem is Chantal. I can't stand being near her anymore.
Have you two fallen out?
I can't stand being near her without being able to take her in my arms, run my fingers through her hair, touch every contour of her face with my fingertips, kiss her tender white... What?
I'm here too, you know. You can wait till you're on your own.
Oh, sorry, it's just becoming too painful. And when Mackay comes to take her out while I'm there, I just want to curl up and die.
Have you told her how you feel?
Yes.
What does she say?
Well, I use 6 different accents, so she probably thought I didn't mean it.
Hello, Eric.
Dora.
So, how have you been?
Fine. Fine, aye. Except,
Except what?
I'd like to come home.
You can come home any time.
I can?
As soon as you give up that job of yours.
I can't.
All right. Keep the job, but start talking properly.
I can't.
Then you can't come home.
Luke, Dora, I wasn't born with many talents, but one thing I can do is change my voice. Is there anything wrong in making that part of my job?
Do you want to spend the rest of your life pretending to be someone else, the sort of person we were brought up to despise?
It won't be forever, Dora. Maybe one day our sort of accent, any sort of accent, will be acceptable on the BBC and in public life. Scottish people will sound Scottish. Northerners will say Bath instead of Bath. And Londoners can say Lokes, Lavadoc, whenever they please. I can't change all that by myself, Dora. I wish I could, but at least I'll have a better chance from within the BBC rather than as a clerk in an accountancy firm.
And when the time is right, Eric Halliday will emerge as the country's pioneer, working-class Northern commentator.
We'd be so proud of you.
Well, I could, but...
But what?
Well, that'd involve me changing my name, as listeners are used to what Eric Halliday sounds like.
So that's it? You're going to turn your back on your own name next?
Whoops, I think you've blown it again, comrade.
Eric!
Chantal! What are you doing here?
I knew that you and Gordon were covering the Open Golf in Hoy Lake, so I asked the Major if I could come with you as your assistant.
Quick, we'd best get on. Let me take that.
Oh,
this is a lovely surprise.
What about the seat here?
Fine. Yep. So, where did you volunteer?
I like to be able to see different parts of England. Also, I thought this would give us a chance to spend more time together.
Oh, you mean you and Mackay?
Yes, I suppose I mean me and Gordon.
So why aren't you with him now?
He's in first class. As a lowly secretary, I have to travel third.
I don't have to, but I prefer to. Especially now.
I like this. You and me going together.
Chantal, I can't tell you how grateful I am to you and your parents for letting me stay, but I think I am going to have to move out.
So you've made it up with your sister?
No, I seem to have managed somehow to make things worse.
So why do you want to leave?
I don't want to. I want to be honest with you. It's Gordon Mackay. When he calls round to take you out, it's awful.
Awful?
Awfully awkward.
He does seem to blame you for everything that is wrong with his life.
Not everything is wrong with his life. He has you, hasn't he?
Yes. So, is your mind made up?
It is.
I'll miss you, Eric.
You will?
Although, we'll still see each other at work sometimes.
Not so often. The football season starts next week. I'll be spending a lot of my time travelling to and from matches.
Oh. Where's your first one?
Near where I grew up. Blackburn.
Blackburn. That's near Burnley, isn't it?
What did you say?
Blackburn, it's near Burnley.
You know what you just did?
I think so. Blackburn, Burnley. Blackburn, Burnley. They don't sound a bit the same.
Oh, Chantal, you are wonderful. I'm sorry. Shouldn't have done that.
You're right. You shouldn't. But now that you have... You'll definitely have to move out now.
I suppose I will.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Hoylake, here on the glorious Cheshire coastline. This is an historic occasion, the 76th Open Championship, and this is the most perfect day. The sky is a beautiful clear blue, the sun is glistening on the sea, the birds are singing of their joy at being alive on a day such as this.
What's up with Halliday?
I can hear them twittering all around me. I think I can hear a chaffinch above the chirruping of the seagulls. Meanwhile, I can hear the trees rustling in the gentle breeze.
Trees? There aren't any trees. This is a lynx course.
Perhaps he's happy.
Happy? He's no right to be happy while on air. Do you notice anything about him on the way up?
No, I can't say that I did.
It's almost as if the angels have descended from heaven to bless this day. Now, here's Gordon Mackay with the latest scores.
Yeah, thank you, Eric. Daly's nearest challenger.
Eric, that was a lovely piece of commentary.
Thank you.
What did it have to do with golf?
Not much, now you come to mention it. Have you had a chance to talk to him yet?
Not yet. I'm seeing him tonight. He wants to meet me on the beach. He says he has an announcement to make.
He's not going to ask you to marry him, is he?
But as I say...
I've decided that tonight we should go to bed.
You have you? Was that your announcement?
Oh, come on, Chantal. We're staying in the same hotel. Things couldn't be more easy.
Things may be easy, but I'm not.
Oh, don't you think you've held out for long enough? I thought all French women were like France during the war. You put up a token show of resistance and then surrender without a fight.
I'm very grateful to you.
Really? Then why don't you show me how grateful?
You're making it easier to say what I have to say.
Oh, I'm going to get it in the neck now, am I?
When we first went out, you were charming, kind, gentlemanly. You persuaded me that the way you behave at work is all an act and that this was the real you.
What's this really about? Have you found someone else?
But when you thought I liked you enough, you dropped the charm.
I said, is there someone else?
Yes, there is,
I knew it. Who is he?
In the last few weeks, you convinced me that a lot of what they say about British men was true.
Huh?
That they're cold-blooded, aloof, insensitive, unfeeling. So I accepted how you were. But I have since found out something else. It isn't all British men, Gordon. It's you.
Is it Halliday?
I'm trying to tell you, Gordon, this isn't just about Eric.
He's done it again. I don't believe it. Everything that was good about my life, he's come straight out of nowhere and destroyed.
Gordon!
Well, that's it. If he can destroy me, then I can destroy him.
Are you planning to fight him?
Are you mad? He pulverized me. No.
There must be something else.
Goodbye, Gordon.
Something else. Chantal! Don't come back!
And the first time he first sees you, mm-hmm. he lifts up his tiny feet and chuckles. And when he smiles, you can see little dimples in his chummy little cheeks.
Deirdre, I'd love to hear more about your sister's baby. He sounds angelic. But I was hoping you might do me a small favour.
What?
Well, every employee of the BBC has to fill out a form for your department, don't they?
Yes.
And these are all filed away in your office?
So what?
I was hoping you could find a way of smuggling out Eric Halliday's file for me.
Not him again. I don't even know who this Eric Halliday is.
Halliday? Please, I'd appreciate it so much.
Is that the only reason you asked me out? Because I work in personnel?
How could such a beautiful, refined girl like yourself think such an unpleasant thought?
I don't want to lose my job, that's all. At least, not until I get married.
All right, then. Let me ask you another question.
What?
Have you ever been to Paris?
Halliday, good to see you.
Hello, Mackay.
Just going home. Shall we walk out together?
If you like.
I've been very remiss, Halliday. I would even say graceless.
Oh, yes?
I've never taken the time to congratulate you on the remarkable progress you've made.
Thank you, Mackay.
Your 6 months probationary period must be almost over.
In 2 weeks.
Ah. It's an absolute certainty that you will have your contract extended.
Oh, I hope so. The Major seems quite pleased with me.
It's all right, Halliday. We're outside Broadcasting House now. We can drop the pretense.
What pretense?
Well, on BBC premises, it's the done thing. But once we're outside the building, we can be ourselves.
I'm not following you.
The voice, Halliday. The accent. I mean, nobody really speaks like this in real life.
They don't.
Well, take me, for instance. This is how I really talk. I learned how to speak in my broadcasting voice only after I came to London. Most of the BBC commentators and announcers talk completely differently when they're outside of work. Surely you must be the same, eh?
Oh, well, it's a relief to learn I'm not the only one. I come from Lancashire originally.
I know. And you're an even bigger buffoon than I took you for, Halliday.
What? But I thought you just said you changed your accent only after you moved to London.
I did, Halliday. When I was 8.
In episode 3 of Our Man at Wembley, you heard Alistair McGowan as Eric and John Glover as Mackay. John Salthouse was Michael, Jane Whittenshaw, Dora, and Dax O'Callaghan, Alf. Melanie Hudson played Chantal, and Jeremy Child, Major Shaw Jones. Our Man at Wembley is written by Bill Matthews and directed by Sally Avon.